السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في الكتاب الحميد والفرقان المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فسيكفيكهم الله وهو السميع العليم، صدق الله العظيم. الحمد لله. Respected elders, brothers and dear friends in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessing us with the greatest of religions, and that is Deen-e-Islam. As far as Deen-e-Islam is concerned, is the final religion which the final prophet came down, and upon him was revealed the final scripture, and that is the Quran. There is no deen or new deen to come ila yawm al-qiyamah. This deen will remain in its pristine form. Allah will protect it, but together by protecting it, Allah will choose certain people. As far as this ummah is concerned, best of ummahs, which Allah so highly speaks of in the Holy Quran, kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. But from amongst this ummah as well, there is a certain group which is afdalul ummah, and they are the chosen ones, handpicked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that are known as companions and the sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, addressing the tabi'een: من كان مستنا فليستن بمن قدمت فإن الحي لا تؤمن عليه الفتنة أولئك أصحاب رسول صلى الله عليه وسلم قال والله أفضل هذه الأمة. He makes mention that do not follow those that are living. Yes, if they teach in Quran and Hadith, listen to them, but do not follow their ways. Because we don't know tomorrow what fitna they will be soaked into, and because they will be deviated, we will also be deviated. How many times don't we hear of certain leaders and scholars which we all follow, and due to circumstances they compromise, and it seems everybody has to compromise. So Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud says, follow those that have left you and that were on truth. And who are they? They are the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala li majma'in. And he takes a qasam, wallahi, they are the best of the ummah. From amongst the Sahaba, then you get the four famous companions, and they are the four so-called Khalifatul Muslimin. And that is Hazrat Abu Bakr, Hazrat Umar, Hazrat Uthman, and Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was soft. Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was stern. Hazrat Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was shy. And Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was a warrior. We go to the third Khalifa of Islam. And this is from where the doors of fitna open. But before we go to fitna, let us look at his early life and his status that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had attached to Hazrat Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He is amongst the fourth person to accept Islam. And who convinced him, or who was instrumental in his acceptance of Islam, was Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. During that period in Hijaz, in Arabia, very few were literate. could read or write. Very few. Amongst the few was Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. He was known as Abu Amr. He was a businessman, cloth merchant, very soft, very kind, generous, prior to accepting Islam. On accepting Islam, his own family, he came from the branch, the family branch known as Umayyah. Very prominent branch of the Quraysh, of the Arabs. And Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, because accepting Islam and following the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was shunned away by his own family. He was ridiculed. He was placed in the corner of the home and locked. And what had happened? When he managed to gain his freedom and he started practicing Islam in the open, it so happened that the daughter of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Ruqayya, that is the second daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she got divorced by the son of Abu Lahab, and his name was Utbah. Reason for divorce. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's two daughters, the second and third, Ruqayya and Umme Kulsum, were married to two brothers, Utbah and Utaybah, the sons of Abu Lahab, the uncle of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he himself was an enemy of Islam and an enemy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the Surah Al-Lahab was revealed, Tabbat yada abi lahabi wa tab, we do not have time to go into it. When now Allah cursed Abu Lahab, and this is through revelation, is no exaggeration. Abu Lahab says to his two sons, divorce the daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If not, do not come in front of me. In many narrations, although they were married, but the marriage was not consummated. So when Hazrat Ruqayya was divorced, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam saw this unique quality in Hazrat Uthman, that is modesty, and he saw that Ruqayya herself was a modest woman, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam paired them and they entered into marriage. Let us look at the modesty of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reclining, he's got his feet slightly exposed. Hazrat Aisha is there. There's a knock at the door. Hazrat Abu Bakr, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him to come in. He comes in. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is still reclining. His leg is exposed. Whatever discussion, Hazrat Abu Bakr goes away. Hazrat Umar comes, same thing happens. When the knock takes place for the third time, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks, who is this? The voice is of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's Uthman. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately sat up straight and he covered his leg. Hazrat Uthman came in, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whatever they had to speak, spoke, and he left. Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, you did not sit up and show that honor and you did not cover your leg. Why are you doing it for Uthman? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, oh Aisha, if the angels show shyness and modesty towards Uthman, should I not be modest and shy towards Uthman? Such was his modesty that the Sahaba says that if he is changing in the next room, you could sense that modesty emanating from that room. The modesty of Hazrat Uthman. Nonetheless, they were amongst the first Muslims to do the first migration to Abyssinia and also the second migration. That is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, after Lut alayhi salam with his wife that migrated, the next couple to migrate together for the pleasure of Allah was Uthman and Ruqayya radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. In the interim, Hazrat Ruqayyah, alhamdulillah, falls pregnant. Allah blesses them with a child by the name of Abdullah ibn Uthman. When the great migration, before Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could migrate from Mecca to Medina, Hazrat Uthman and Hazrat Ruqayyah already left towards Medina. It so happened that during the incident of Badr, Hazrat Ruqayyah became very ill. He was very sickly. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam told Hazrat Uthman, take care of your wife. We know the intensity. We know the virtues and the fadilat of the battle of Badr. But is there not a lesson here that first look after your own before you look after others as well? It's your duty. It's your partner. It's your spouse. Hazrat Uthman had to stay behind and nurture and take care of his ill wife. Whilst the incident and the battle is taking place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses the Muslims with victory. And when the Qasid and the messenger by the name of Zayd radiallahu ta'ala is sent by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, go to Medina and tell the Muslims of Medina, give them the glad tidings of the victory that Allah has blessed us with. And when Hazrat Zayd enters Medina, it is at that particular time when the burial of Hazrat Ruqayyah radiallahu ta'ala anha was taking place. She passed away at that time. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not at the funeral of his beloved daughter Hazrat Ruqayyah radiallahu ta'ala anha. Not long after that, the son, Abdullah ibn Uthman, a bird comes and perches his eye. And because of that infection, it becomes so severe that this boy also leaves this dunya at the age of 6. Hazrat Uthman is very sad. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loves Hazrat Uthman. Wallahi! Look at this. He himself says to Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, إِنَّ لِكُلِّ نَبِيًّا رَفِيقًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Every prophet will have a friend in Jannah. أَنْتَ رَفِيقِ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Oh Uthman, you will be my friend in Jannah. What is the status of Hazrat Uthman? Just analyze. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not exaggerate. وَمَنْ أَزْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ أَصَادِقُ الْمَصْدُوقُ. Whatever Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke was the truth. Nonetheless, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Hazrat Uthman filled with grief and sorrow, he goes and he says, oh Uthman, what has happened to you? He says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, number one, the obvious, my wife passed away, Hazrat Ruqayyah, your beloved daughter. And the second reason for my grief is that that connection between me and you is no longer there. That means now you're no longer my father-in-law. It hurts the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says, O Uthman, Jibreel Amin has come to me and he has told me that Allah says that I must offer my daughter Umme Kulthum in hand to your marriage. What status a person has to be the fortunate one to marry two daughters of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? She only lived for 6 years and she also passed away. Umme Kulthum radiallahu ta'ala anha. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes to him and he says, O Uthman, wallahi, in one riwayat, if Allah gave me 40 daughters and one if Allah gave me 100 daughters, every one that would pass away, I would have offered the next one, next one, next one, till I would have offered every daughter in marriage to you. This was the reason he was given the title Dhunnurayn, the bearer of two lights, the two daughters of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The second unique quality that many of us, when we speak about him, we refer to him as Hazrat Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala. Battle of Tabuk. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam announcing to the Muslims, come, give towards this noble cause, contribute for the mujahideen, towards whether it's weapons, whether it's a mode of transport, animals, food, whatever it is. Hazrat Uthman comes forward, he offers 200, 300, some say camels, horses, ready, fully equipped for battle. And then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encourages the companions, see, come and contribute, come. Hazrat Uthman reaches where he gives more than 900 animals. Fi sabilillah, for the pleasure of Allah. As Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, together with that he comes with 1,000 gold coins. And as Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is counting those coins on his fingers, he says, oh Uthman, from now on, no matter what you do, Allah has forgiven you and Jannah is compulsory upon you. Jannah is compulsory upon you. Comes the time when the Muslims migrated from Mecca, used to drinking Zamzam, coming to Medina, which generally the water of Medina is salty. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that Jew has a well, which is known as Bir Rumah, which has sweet water. Who is going to purchase that well and give it to the Muslims for the pleasure of Allah? Hazrat Uthman goes to the Jewish person and he says, I would love to purchase this well. The Jew says, I will never sell it to you. Hazrat Uthman does not lose heart. He's a businessman. He lets time go by and then he goes to the Jewish person and he says, can I buy half the well? Let's be partners. 50-50. One day the well belongs to you, one day it belongs to me. That means every alternate days it belongs to one. The Jewish man started thinking. He says, Uthman is a great businessman. And if I now sign this contract, being a great businessman, I will reap the benefits. So the Jewish man agrees and he purchases half, he gives half the well to Hazrat Uthman and he sells it to him. Subhanallah, this is a sign of a Muslim, a mu'min. When it was the time of the Muslims, Hazrat Uthman made an announcement, drink how much you want, take how much you want, give how much you want. There is no limit and it's all for free. Whereas the Jewish man had a hectic price to selling water. So what happened? That everybody would come during the time of Hazrat Uthman. The next day, nobody would go to the well. So the Jewish guy lost completely. Nobody was purchasing water from him. The Jewish man realized he's running at a loss. He goes to Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says, are you prepared to purchase the other half? Hazrat Uthman says, no problem. He says, 20,000 dirhams. 20,000 silver coins. Hazrat Uthman says, deal. The Jewish man says, but you did not negotiate. If you brought me down, probably I would have even given it to you free because there's no benefit to me. Why didn't you negotiate? He says, that's none of your problem. Subhanallah. The well now belongs to the Muslims. This is the first thing in Islam that was given waqf to the Muslims. Was given waqf for the Muslims. Some companions came to Hazrat Uthman. We want to purchase this well. We will double the amount. Hazrat Uthman says, I've got an offer better than that. They said, we will better that offer. He said, I got an offer better than that. They said, we will offer better than that also. Hazrat Uthman says, I've got an offer better than that. So they said, who is that person that is negotiating to purchase this well? He says, nobody's purchasing this well. My Rabb Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that whatever is given in charity, Allah will multiply it by tenfold. Can you better the price which Allah is prepared to give me? That was worth. But they kept it under the so-called trust known as Uthman ibn Affan. And wallahi, up till today, from the Umayyad dynasty to the Abbasid dynasty, They actually benefited, and date palms were then grown and orchards were then made, and whatever was the proceeds from those khajur and from that land, 50% would go to the poor and needy, 50 to maintain what there was and to reinvest. And subhanallah, up till present day, when we go to Medina Tayyiba, the hotels that are close proximity of the Haram is all in the fund of Hazrat Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu ta'ala. Those hotels does not belong to anyone. It is leased. So whatever proceeds they get, 50% goes to more so the widows and orphans till present day, and 50% is reinvested. And this trust and this fund is known as Uthman ibn Affan. And subhanallah, on a monthly basis, there is 50 million riyals that are coming in the trust of Uthman ibn Affan. That is why he's known as Uthman Ghani, Uthman the generous one. This was, now comes his khilafat, but that is for 12 years. Initially, alhamdulillah, things were moving smoothly. He started conquering, not like Hazrat Umar, but yes, the first naval fleet under the banner of Islam was dispatched by Hazrat Uthman ibn Affan. He controlled from Kabul, that is Afghanistan, right into North Africa, that is Morocco, from east to west. But then came the fitna, and that started from a Jewish man by the name of Abdullah ibn Sabah, who now mobilized the outside troops from Sham, from Iraq, from Misr, to overthrow this Khalifa and to create dissension and disunity amongst the Muslims. And how they ridiculed Hazrat Uthman. Each one paid the price in this dunya. He gained martyrdom, and that martyrdom of Hazrat Uthman is something to read about, something, a lesson for today, that people in the name of Islam that fight, but their ulterior motives is something else. Wallahi, it started from that particular time. So all those that are there to ridicule the Sahaba, that are there to disgrace and dishonor the Sahaba, are the ones that you can say are the followers of Abdullah ibn Sabah, for he started and opened the doors of this fitna, ridiculing and going against the companions of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah grant tawfiq. Next time, inshallah, probably we will discuss this type of, this time of fitna and the martyrdom of Hazrat Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala instill in us the true love for these true beacons and light. These are the ones that were there, that were close to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They loved the moment, and such was the iman that Allah says, "Ulaika kataba fi qulubihimul iman." In their hearts was inscribed iman. Allah grant us tawfiq. Amin. Wa akhir da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.